Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Monday, June 8th, 2020. According to information from the ARD political TV magazine Kontraste and NDR Radio, the Berlin Public Prosecutor's Office is investigating against a police chief commissioner on suspicion of betraying official secrets. Detlef M. is said to be a member of the AfD and to have provided party friends with police information via the messenger Telegram in connection with the attack on Breitscheidplatz by Islamist Anis Amri. Already 90 minutes after the terrorist attack on December 19th of 2016, the officer is said to have shared information in a chat group. The following day, results of the forensic examination of the truck were sent to the group via the police officer's telephone number. Further message followed, with the explicit instruction not to forward them for the time being. Otherwise, there could be no more info afterwards. On Friday evening, Berlin police reacted to the report and announced on Twitter that the state security is investigating against the chief commissioner with the Attorney General's office. Proceedings were initiated immediately on suspicion of violation of official secrets. Further information was not given in view of the personal rights of the accused and ongoing investigations. Detlef M. came under suspicion because of another investigation. The chat group, which also contained Islamophobic and Holocaust-denying content, included 12 AfD members from Neukölln. One of them is Thilo P., one of three right-wing extremists suspected in a series of politically motivated attacks that have been committed in Neukölln since 2013. P. has already been charged with damage to property, and an investigation into the suspicion of arson is still ongoing. He has said to have left the AfD in the meantime in order to avoid being expelled from the party. In the course of the investigation into the series of attacks, P's cell phone was seized last December. During the evaluation, investigators came across the chat group and the suspected betrayal of secrets by their colleague Detlef M. The Berlin police could not disclose whether the officer is also under investigation in an internal disciplinary procedure. As Berlin Briefing previously reported, people who are active against right-wing extremism have repeatedly been the victims of arson attacks in Neukölln over the last several years. The series of attacks was particularly intense between the end of 2016 and mid-2017. During this peak phase, the vehicle of a Neukölln district representative of the SPD was set on fire. 10 days after, a bookseller's car also went up in flames after he held a discussion round entitled, "What to Do Against the AfD, Standing Up Against Racism." Deputy spokesman for the Neukölln Left Party, Ferit Kocsik, whose car went up in flames in February 2018, stated on the investigations against Detlef M., quote, "Something like this frightens me and my family, as we have long since lost sight of who we can trust and who is being protected here." Kocsik wonders how many more connections between the right-wing scene and Berlin security officials would have to be uncovered, quote, "so that the demand of those affected by right-wing terror in Neukölln for a committee of inquiry is finally taken seriously." Kocsik's party friend Martina Renner, who sits for the Left Party in the Bundestag and is a member of the Omri Investigative Committee there, demands harsh consequences, stating, quote, "Anyone who passes on police internal affairs to enemies of democracy and suspected arsonists must be thrown out of service." The Berlin police, who have set up a special commission under the name BAO Focus after public criticism and investigative breakdowns, now count 72 crimes as part of the crime complex in Neukölln, including 23 arsons. Bianca Klose, project manager of the Mobile Information Center Against Right-Wing Extremism in Berlin, or MBR, thinks that the lack of success in the investigation of the series of attacks raises questions about possible connections between the perpetrators and the police, stating, quote, "Whether these come about through friendly contacts or ideological overlaps, theoretically, one police officer is sufficient to pass on data or torpedo the investigation." Once before, it was suspected that a police officer might have passed on information about the series of attacks to a suspect. Employees of the Berlin Office for the Protection of the Constitution said that they had observed an officer of the State Criminal Police Office at a meeting with the suspect Sebastian T. in a restaurant. The BAO focus assumes that there was a mix-up by the constitutional protectors. The criminal proceedings against the official have meanwhile been dropped. An estimated 15,000 people demonstrated against racism in the form of a silent protest on Berlin's Alexanderplatz on Saturday, according to police reports. The organizers expected and registered only 1,500 participants. The police called for compliance with the corona rules and the use of adjacent roads to avoid overcrowding. The background to the protest is the death of the African-American George Floyd on May 25th during a brutal police operation in Minneapolis. Many of the demonstrators at the protest in Berlin were dressed in dark clothes, and it was said in the run-up to the event that they wanted to remember Mr. Floyd's death in silence. After songs and some speeches in which racism and police violence were denounced and Floyd's death was commemorated, the crowd chanted "Black Lives Matter" and "No Justice, No Peace." Shortly after 4 p.m., the meeting broke up. Around 6 p.m., the Berlin Police Operations Control Center reported that a large group of people were throwing stones and bottles at officers in front of the Berolino House. 28 officers were injured and 93 arrests were made. About 50 people rioted in Neukölln late Friday evening. The group moved from Richardstrasse via Karl-Marx-Strasse to the Neukölln City Hall. According to a police spokesperson, objects were thrown on the road, pyrotechnics were ignited, and shop windows were damaged with stones. The spokesperson said that a connection with the court ruling on the controversial house project Liebig 34 was assumed. The project is considered one of the last symbols of the radical left-wing scene in the city. As previously reported by Berlin Briefing, after months of legal wrangling, the house owner's action for eviction was granted last Wednesday. The Residents Association, which calls itself the anarcho-queer feminist house project Liebig 34, had refused to leave the building after a notice was given. The BVLG is observing that some Berliners seem to be becoming more careless when it comes to complying with the nose and mouth protection obligation when using public transportation. According to BVLG spokeswoman Petra Nelken, the number fluctuates between 80 and 90%. In the beginning, the rate was much higher. According to Nelken, there are differences in the course of the day, stating, quote, "In the morning, when people go to work, it's not that big of a problem. But as the day goes on, the adherence to the rule diminishes. Masks on buses and trains are not checked by police and public order authorities. However, the BVLG asks its passengers to please continue wearing the protection. The spokeswoman calls this a gesture of consideration for others." According to the analysis of the transport companies, people on trams adhere best to the regulation. In order to protect BVLG bus drivers from infections in the future, the company has declared that the driver's seat will be separated from the rest of the vehicle by glass. A large part of the fleet is to be converted by the end of the year, and in the future, cashless payment will also be possible in all buses after the retrofit. Though use of public transport is increasing, many passengers continue to avoid it for fear of infection. In the morning rush hour, about 70% of the regular volume has been reached again. During the rest of the day, however, buses and trains are still only half as full as usual. This is one of the reasons why the company continues to calculate a loss of approximately 150 million euros this year. In general, the BVLG was able to protect their employees well so far. Only 8 out of 15,000 employees were infected with the coronavirus. Except for one employee, all other affected employees have already recovered from their infections, and none of them had to go to hospital. And now, a few thank yous. Thank you to Birju and Kemal for your recent generosity. Please visit our website at berlinbriefing.de for info about donating to help keep us up and running. That said, please remember we are forever committed to keeping Berlin Briefing free and without advertisements for everyone. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.